All right. This is an introduction to an anonymous communication system called Mixed Networks. They've been around a while. This is the ex-NSA, ex-CIA director, Michael Hayden, who's famously quoted as saying, "We kill people based on metadata." So what we're talking about here is communications metadata. So here's the NSA slide from the Snowden documents. It says, "Sniff it all." They mean Ethernet sniffing, as in capturing all your packets. Know it all, collect it all, process it all, exploit it all, partner it all. Partner it all, obviously, they're infiltrating companies and destroying NIST standards and things like that. So when we say communications metadata, this is some of the stuff we're talking about. Geographical location, message sender. So this means they capture your social graph. They know who your friends are, even when you send encrypted messages to your friends. Or if it's an encrypted email, they capture an entire social graph. They know who your friends are, who your friends' friends are, who your friends' friends' friends are. It's a graph. But also geographical location and other stuff. So in the academic literature, there's a bunch of different options that we have to solve this problem. Decryption mixed nets, private information retrieval, dynamic cryptographer networks, broadcast-based designs, oblivious random access, memory, etc. But I think decryption mixed nets work the best because they can scale to millions of users, and there's not a huge computational overhead, there's not a huge bandwidth overhead. For a lot of these other designs, they scale to a few thousand or something. And so David Chaum is this mathematician who invented them, and he actually first published the paper in 1979. Untraceable electronic mail, return addresses, and digital pseudonyms. So this is the paper with all the big ideas in it that inspired 37 years of academic research, but unfortunately not enough field testing. This is kind of a basic architecture. So the clients want download some cryptographic key material from this PKI. It's a public key infrastructure. And then they can use cryptography and send their messages through the network. I'll explain what this means. But basically, clients want to communicate anonymously. Or you don't want people to know who your friends are. It's not their business unless you tell them. So the way it works is these mixes, they're essentially a cryptographic router. There's many different designs, actually dozens of papers published about this in the past few decades. And this first design is really simple to think about. Everybody has a sort of innate intuition about probability and mathematics, even if you've never been to school or anything. Everybody can kind of reason about this stuff. So in this case, we have a what's called a threshold mix. It means it accumulates four messages if the threshold is set to four, which is a ridiculously low number, by the way. So it shuffles the messages and sends them out. And since we're using encryption, we're removing a layer of encryption from each message. So these output messages, they look totally different than the input messages. And since this threshold is set to four, you have 25% chance of guessing if one of the output messages is linked with one of the input messages. Now, if we have a million messages, then your chance would be one in a million, right? So that would be a much lower probability of the adversary linking input and output messages. So that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to make it difficult for passive adversaries watching the network to link input messages with output messages. And, but this is very different than Tor, because Tor actually tries to route your traffic as fast as possible, and it's not delaying anything. So if we set this threshold mix to a million, it would probably take a long time for the mix to accumulate a million messages. So it would add a lot of latency. It wouldn't be very practical. So we have more practical designs now. And instead of measuring this anonymity set size, the set of all the messages a mix could possibly accumulate at one given time, we use other different concepts like Shannon entropy and other types of measurements. But this is not Tor. This is totally different. This is a great paper by Claudia Diaz and Andrei Sarantov, and they talk about how each mixed strategy has different trade-offs for safety, anonymity, security properties, or lower or higher latency, or things like that. And most of this talk, I'm going to be talking about concepts from this paper, the Lupix Anonymity System. Anya is the main author of this paper. It's mostly based on her work. We collaborated together to design a mixed network system. She's one of the designers. And so I want to talk a little bit about topology. So if everyone in the mixed network uses the exact same route, unlike Tor, this actually works great for mixed networks. The problem with this design is if one of these mixes crashes or has an outage or loses power or blows up in a fire explosion or something like that, you can't route any messages through the network anymore. So that's a network outage. So each of these mixes represents a single point of failure. And what we want instead is something more like this or this, where you can make many routes through the network. But this turns out to be bad, because if Alice is messaging Bob through a different route, and Bob is messaging Alice through a different route, then the messages in each mix have a distinguishing property, which is what part of the network they're from. So like, look at this mix here. It's getting messages from mix two, but also it's getting messages directly from Bob. So this breaks the anonymity set into two sets instead of one. And that essentially makes it having weaker security properties. So Claudia Diaz, Stephen Murdoch, and Carmela Troncoso published this paper, The Impact of Network Topology on Anonymity and Overhead in Low Latency and Anonymity Networks. So this is the concept from their design. This is a stratified topology, so we have layers. So the mixes in layer one can only send messages to mixes in layer two. They can't talk to layer three directly, right? So this layered approach fixes the problem earlier. So earlier we have this design when anybody can send a route to anybody else. And this fixes the problem with this, right? If you have an outage, in one of these mixes crashes, you can't route messages through the network. So instead we have, we use this. And so in stratified topology, if one of these mixes crashes, you just stop using it. You can use another one. If you add too many users and there's too much traffic, you can add more mixes in each layer so you can scale. So it has high availability and the ability to load balance and scale. And in Lupix, what we want to do is we have these providers. They're the same thing as a mix, but they allow you to save a message and pick it up later. Because if you're not online at the same time as your friend, you want to send a message to your friend and it's saved somewhere and they can pick it up later. There's another, Amir Hertzberg has published two papers and they talk a different approach to this topology. So instead they have multiple cascades and you can choose one of these and use it for like a week or two. And this is a kind of different probability of some bad things happening, right? Because if you could pick a bad cascade, what I mean by bad is, say an adversary has already captured each of these computers in the top cascade here, and you begin to use this cascade to talk to your friends, now all your messages for the next week or two will be compromised. Well, the adversary will know who you're sending messages to. But the trade-off here is that every time you use this, you pick a new route. And if there's a mix in each layer that is compromised already, then the more routes you make through the network, you increase your probability of eventually you'll choose a bad route where every mix in the route is compromised. So this is kind of a different type of trade-off where you might choose a bad route where every mix is compromised, but maybe not. So maybe you'll choose a good one and then you'll use it for a long time. And really what we're trying to do is protect against this attack called the intersection attack. It's this long-term statistical disclosure attack where the entire network is kind of like one mix or one router. So you just have one of the Alices, like Alice 1, wants to send a message to like Bob 4 over there, right? But the problem is if Alice 1 goes offline, and then we can see Bob 4 is getting fewer messages, maybe he's getting like 30% fewer messages, then we know Alice 1 is sending him messages, right? This is leaked information. If you go offline, you can't send messages to your friends. So we can notice the difference of how the messages are coming out of the network, going to which person they're going to, and how much, right? So we can do statistical analysis basically to break the anonymity of, and this goes for Tor, this works for every type of anonymity system. Essentially the entire network can be abstracted away so that the network is represented as just a single router or a single mix. And so what we'd like to have happen is there is a kind of standard deviation, a certain amount of noise in the network which is normal, right? So if Alice goes offline and Bob gets 5% fewer messages, maybe that's okay, maybe that's not so suspicious. Maybe that happens all the time. And so we can expand that. This is the same diagram. Really it's the same. Because all this stuff here in the middle, that's what this one mix is, right? And these are clients talking to other clients. And these two vertical lines here in this diagram represent the part of the network where the adversary is monitoring the internet connection. So it doesn't have to be a global adversary. It's certainly not a global adversary. But they can see when you're online. And if your friend who you're sending a message to, if they're online, and they can, so they see these messages traverse the network. And so in this case, what we have a situation is the adversary is performing this attack as a passive adversary. They're just collecting statistical information, and they'll use it to try to correlate a sender with one of these receivers. Over long periods of time, it could take weeks, it could take months. These attacks are not always successful. They can fail as also if they cannot predict user behavior, if user behavior is not repetitive. So the situation is different now because in the Lupix design, we're queuing messages here. And if each of these providers has 1 million users, or 10,000 users, let's say. Now, just because you're sending some message through here and it goes to this top provider, now all of a sudden the adversary who's passive doesn't know which user on that provider you're sending a message to. There's 1 million users on each provider, so how will the adversary know? So this is leaked much less metadata in this case. So leaking less metadata is good. That's what we want. And in general, we always leak metadata. But we want to be able to measure how much metadata we're leaking and to try to reduce it. So that's what we're doing here. We're reducing the metadata leakage. This is like a kind of statistical information that you're always leaking. The question is, if you're a client now and you want to pick up your message later, like hours later after your friend sent a message, or maybe seconds later, or days later, I don't know, we have what's called a traffic padded protocol. So with this client talking to the provider, it's not clear from passive adversary if they're actually receiving a real message or some fake message, right? And the way that works is, so if we have Ada, Jean-Paul, and Nathan asking the provider for some messages, Jean-Paul has only one message in his queue, but the provider sends him the same amount of information as these other users. So every user who requests messages, they get the same amount of information, but Jean-Paul only has one of them is a real message and the other are like fake messages, right? So this is a traffic padded protocol, and this allows us to essentially create this security property in the network where you can't tell if a client is really receiving a message or not. Let's see. And all right, so this is kind of a network diagram. So Alice is sending a message to some provider on the network. We have a plugin system for the providers. I mean, we have software that actually works, by the way. But the plugin system, you can put any service on the mix network. It could retrieve a website, it could send your friend a message, or maybe post a transaction to a database or something like that. And then she gets a reply back. So the reply is anonymously routed. It would be kind of like if I give you an envelope with a stamp, but you can't read the address because it's encrypted or something. There's basically, it's a complicated cryptographic packet format that I won't go into, but it essentially allows Alice to receive a reply anonymously. So this provider down here that she's sending, this provider cannot know Alice's location that she's using this top provider. So all of the traffic on our network looks like this. This is a great paper by Georgiades and Ian Goldberg, Sphinx, a compact and provably secure mixed format. This is the cryptographic packet format we're using. It's kind of basically, I'm not going to really talk about cryptography in this talk, because I just want to introduce the probability theory concepts and the threat model. But there's some cool, it's a great paper. I like reading academic papers. I think everyone should. The Sphinx packet format, however, is vulnerable to compulsion attacks. These are essentially police raids, legal action, or hacking computers. So each of these computers in the route here, if Alice is sending a cryptographic message here, some spy agency or government or cartel or mafia is capturing her packet, and then they know it's going here, so they get the decryption key from this provider. It's, you know, someone's computer owned by a person who doesn't want to go to jail or be killed by mafia. So they decrypt the packet, and then they get the next location, and they keep doing this until they have the entire route through the network. So this kind of like violent compulsion to steal cryptographic key material happens all the time. And so ideally, we want to have these routers spread on different continents all around the world, so that it's very difficult to engage the different police agencies in these different countries. So we want to route your messages different continents, different countries, different legal jurisdictions. Let's see. There's other... And that's called the compulsion attack. And the compulsion attack has basically, we have some partial defenses. We can defend against these attacks. We have a key rotation where keys, the cryptographic key material is valid only for some few hours. So it expires. So if they capture some key, it will only be useful to the police for a few hours. So it's kind of a trade-off. And there's still some risks to using this. But what are you going to do that's different? I mean, we either use mixed networks, or I don't really think there's an alternative. Things like Tor aren't protecting against the same threat model. Tor can be broken by a sufficiently global adversary who can see both sides of the connection, and they can break it in a few seconds, not weeks or anything like that, a few seconds. So, I mean, there's other defenses for this stuff. This is a really good paper, Compulsion-Resistant Anonymous Communication by Georgiades, and it talks about other defenses like compulsion traps, plausible deniable routing, multicast routing hops. I won't go into too much detail about that, but let's see. So Cats and Post is this free software project. We make a mixed network. It could be used by people, but we're still in sort of this rapid development phase right now. We don't actually want to make an encrypted messaging chat thing. There's a bunch of those out there already, and they have like marketing, and like it works on iPhone and Android and all this stuff, so that's not really what we're good at. What we're good at is making anonymous protocols. So ideally, we would like to collaborate with Briar, collaborate with Wire, collaborate with maybe Signal or WhatsApp. I don't know if they would want to collaborate with us, but we want to collaborate with them because I think that this end-to-end encryption that everybody is using, it goes really good with anonymity. They pair really nicely. And it would increase the privacy for people. And so we have basically three things that are interacting. We have mixes, we have the PKI system that gives you the keys to talk to the mixes, and we have clients. And this is a layered, it's layered on top of the internet. So we're not using a different network that's different from the internet. We're putting the mixed network on top of the internet, and we have our own protocol stack that's built on top. And it's essentially custom. I mean, this is sort of a silly diagram. It's kind of like the OSI network model diagram, if you're familiar with that. And we can also use this for cryptocurrency. I was thinking this could be a way to get funding, but I'm not sure about these cryptocurrency people. I really like the anarchists and the hackers, and I want to, you know, to provide anonymous communication for people and their friends and family. And then there's these sketchy dudes with anonymous currency. Well, that's cool. I would like to enable them to do this, but it's definitely lower priority than allowing people to talk to each other. So the idea here is that even if you use Zcash, which encrypts your transactions, your home IP address could be associated with putting a transaction on the blockchain. So mixed networks allow you to hide that, right? You're in a crowd of dudes with top hats over here who are rich and they own cryptocurrency, and one of them sends a transaction. I mean, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Like, you want to hide in a crowd. You want to make it statistically very unlikely someone would link your activity on the network with some transaction in a database. I mean, that's a blockchain is just a database. So that's what I had in mind, but mainly I'm interested in this encrypted chat. But we could run many types of applications on a mixed network. It's just a matter of programming or writing some code or something. And in any case, all the traffic would look like this. If Alice is sending a message to Bob, or if she's putting a transaction on the blockchain or whatever, it would just always look like a loop. She would send a message through to one of the providers and she would get a reply back. I mean, we hang out in IRC a lot, and we have a GitHub profile, and we write lots of code, but that's it. That's all for the talk. All right. I forgot to tell people to interrupt the talk to ask questions, but I guess if you want, you can ask a question now. Yeah.
Sorry, I've been hanging out with you all day, but I still have a question. You said that keys can be rotated in a mix and they can expire after a few hours or whatever. How do mixes get a new key afterwards in the case that it's not rated? What's the routine which happens here?
Yeah, good question. So mixes actually talk to the PKI. I should have mentioned this earlier, actually, in this diagram. Clients talk to the PKI to get the keys for the mixes, right? So that's what this is, like clients getting keys and then clients using the keys. But also, mixes every few hours upload new keys to the PKI. Like, the mixes will all have their private key, and they don't share that, of course. They only upload their public key to the PKI. So this PKI is kind of like, on the internet, we use certificate authorities. We don't mess around with that. So we're not trying to talk to any legacy systems like the internet here. This is like a whole new network, and you can put applications on it. So that's how it works. Like, mixes just tell the PKI they're a new key. Are there any other questions? No? Okay.